Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Chief Langley. Tonight is March 11, 2018. And we're going to discuss preserving your family history. Many a times, we don't value the clothing and many other artifacts that your family has. Your grandfather's old tools, old clothing. These things are very, very important. As soon as there is a funeral, most times with Black Americans, the first thing we do is throw out the clothing. Get rid of the old hat because you didn't like the hat. You got tired of granddaddy or daddy wearing this old hat. Or grandmama with the old hat and the old dress and the old shoes. Those things are meaningful. Those things, depending on what they are, there's a history behind that old hat. There's a history behind that old dress. There's a history behind the old hammer or the old shovel. Those things you need to start preserving. This thing is very important. See, you don't find white folks getting rid of everything. Why should you? Old house, ain't nobody living in it. Let's tear it down. Why? Preserve it. Start you a nonprofit organization, a heritage society, and get you a grant and restore your old grandfather, or great-grandmother, or great-grand-aunt house. You should not destroy these things. Every museum you go in, you will find an old pair of shoes, a suit, a jacket, some eyeglasses, even a comb, old notebook that belongs to some famous person. Your ancestors are not famous to you. These things are very important. I don't know why Black folks devalue things after a family member has passed. Old jewelry goes, clearly. Grandkids coming, claiming, taking stuff. Things are important. You need to preserve. You need to set a standard. No, we ain't giving away nothing till we find out what we are going to preserve. These things that we're going to preserve that goes into the living history project or museum we have. See, you can have a mobile museum. Let's place stuff in a glass case, plastic bags. And during your family reunion, you bring these things out. These things. Or you take a room in the house and preserve it. Too many times, you are throwing away your history. Because you don't know the history behind those things. You might find some ancient ancestry or some ancestry down the line that you know nothing about. So be careful throwing away things. The body ain't even cold and you're going through the clothes. I kept my grandmother things in my house. And mom has been dead since December 2012, and I still have them. Why are you holding on as if she died in my house? It's in my possession. I got it. The hell you worrying about it for? No. Ain't nothing but some old clothes, take down the water. I'm not ready for those things. Because when I decide to build a family museum, whether if it's nothing more than in a room or a little building, then I will let those things go. Until then, no. Taking up space, they ain't coming back. That's the problem. Black people as a whole, so-called African Americans as a whole, need to learn to preserve what you have left of your history. You don't value it, but you quick to pay $25 or $30 or $12 or $13 or $15 or $5 to go see somebody else exhibit. But you won't preserve your own. I'm giving you a wake-up call. Preserve your family history. I don't care if it's nothing but a folk. But if it's the favorite folk that she or he always used, or it's the favorite glass or cup that your grandfather or great-grandfather or mother or father used, you preserve it. Preserve these things, because these things have a history behind them. There's a reason why it is their favorite. See, too many times you don't value. And when you don't value your history, you really don't care about your history. See? See, the so-called African-American and so-called black people in America, your history did not start in slavery. That is as far as many you can go, but you can go beyond that. See, you don't know if that old hat or that old spoon or that old cup was passed down to your grandmother or grandfather as a child, from their mother and father as a child. From their mother and father. You done went back 3 generations. That spoon may have been given by your grandfather who was in the 1800s. So it was passed on to somebody. Keep this. Don't let it go. That's all you got. So you hold on to it. But it's meaningless. Oh, ain't nothing but old spoon. Really? Stop it. I'm trying to tell y'all something. See, people tell you, oh, you're just holding on to the dead. Well, what about all these people with all these things in the museums? They holding on to the dead? If you Negroes don't wake up and smell the coffee, stop it. Preserve your family history. I'm telling you. Don't let no one tell you otherwise. It's very important. Many a times, rethink things are just meaningless. That old house that sits in the country, oh, ain't nobody living there. Retired or paying taxes on the hell. The taxes between 25 ain't even $100 a year. Trifling. Oh, let's just tear it down. You tearing down your memories. See, many of y'all, I'm going to give you an educational lesson, because many of y'all don't know what to do with your family reunions. Your family reunion is not all about just buying some colored t-shirts, eating fried chicken and macaroni, and getting together every 2 years. Many of you do that and can't go back and find one place where your ancestors were. See, you need, if you got these places, you need to hold on to these places and have your family reunions there. We don't want to ride back up in the country. Let's do it in the hell if you don't. That's where your ancestors were. That's where you need to be. I'm trying to tell you something. Trifling. 15, 25, some of you have 200 members in the family. And 200 members in the family, each one of you could come up with $50 to preserve your family history. And you don't want to do that. Because you're not thinking of value. See, there are heritage grants. Anything over 50 years, you can get federal assistance for it. So you need to preserve it. That old suit, that old dress was made in the 30s and the 40s. Believe it or not, you can preserve it. Once you structure your family reunions as 501(c)(3)s, nonprofit organizations that are federally registered, you can get funding to preserve. I'm not talking about start something and just call it a nonprofit. Do not do that. Go and register it. Pay the $700-$800 to get your federal ID for it and tap into the federal funding and preserve your history. And that old house sitting on the hill now becomes the Johnson family historical home, or the Roberts, or the Williams, or the Cummins, or so forth and so on. Trying to inspire y'all tonight on what you need to do. How do you think these things get into museums? How do you think these historical societies exist? Create your own. It's there for you to do. See? I have seen families, farms, and old houses, and let the stuff go and go have family reunions somewhere else. Don't even think about, all they want to do is talk about. Oh, that's where they used to grow up at. Well, you know what? You need to preserve that if you can. Matter of fact, if it's 200-300 of y'all, you need to come up with enough money to go back and buy it. Preserve it. It's yours. You don't find white folks doing this. Come up out of slavery. Because that's the mindset many of you have. Preserve your family history. I've walked in private museums and seen panties and drawers, long drawers, put up on a mannequin. That's great-grandfather's favorite long draw. You black, you sit back and laugh at that. Hee hee. The white folks ain't laughing. Preserving it and getting paid to preserve it. See, your family reunion need to be incorporated. You need to deal with the business side of things rather than to sit back and talk about a cruise or a picnic. Preserve your family history. I'm trying to tell y'all something. I've seen many families. It ain't 2 days before the trash man come and bring a bin, throwing stuff out. Body ain't even cold, ain't even embalmed them yet. Going through, looking, 4 or 5 little pins or whatever dollars you can get for the rest of the family come. I don't need to tell y'all. Y'all know you people. Better wake up. There are many things that are value to you as a family, as a whole. So stop looking at it from an individual perspective. Preserve. See, many of you don't even know. With DNA testing today, and if you incorporate your family reunion with a registered 501(c) nonprofit, you can get funding for your DNA testing to find out where you come from. Oh, I don't trust DNA. Well, it's very good for detecting paternity. See, you need to start looking at doing testing from a family perspective. 200-300 members in your family. Y'all can't come at 35, 40, or 50. $100 apiece, even if you ask for $100 apiece and save it for a two-year mark, that's $10 a month per person unless there's a child. That's not working. $20,000 you now have. What are you going to do with it? You can call some of these genealogical societies. You can call some of these DNA tests and say, you know what? This is how many members I have in my family. We want a private testing done. Then the test that costs $100 might cost each one of you $25. But you don't take the initiative to do these things. Tell y'all something. See, when Langley talk about something, Langley don't talk about nothing he has not had any experience with. These are the things you need to do. So you need to go about the business of your family reunion and the business side of preserving some things. What the crew's going to give you a remembrance? Drinking beer, wine, party, dancing, gone. But that old house that sits in a field, or that old house that sits on a hill, or that old car, oh, we're going to junk the old car. How many times you went into museums and seen old cars that has been restored, that are owned by people sitting there? Same thing applies to you. They're no different from you. So y'all should ask the question, why do white folks always preserve their stuff? Why do white folks always create museums? And you don't. And you go and pay to see their stuff. And you got your own stuff right here. You better wake up and smell the coffee. Seriously. So tonight, I'm telling you, and trying to inspire you to preserve your family history. See? You would be surprised at the number of federal and state funding you can gain by understanding what your identity is due to slavery. You might want to create the Fulani family of the Jones and the Williamses. Incorporated. You could get funding just like the Gullah Geechee. How do you think they did it? How do you think they received those $10 million in grants? They preserved their history. It's not too late for many of you. Don't shy away from certain type of DNA testing. Then go and learn your language. So you know what? It's 200 of us. And out of the 200 of us, 150 of us have tested. Found out we came from Nambia. Go and apply for a federal language grant. Preserve your language. You might find you'll gain 50 to 100,000 federal government just by having a nonprofit 501(c). I'm giving y'all something to think about. Maybe you do it, maybe you're not. I am telling you what you should do. See, many a times you don't want to do that because y'all ain't Indian.
There's only the Indian people can do that, and that's the only thing about Cherokee. Some of y'all ain't never been Cherokee. Some ain't never been Cherokee. Leave that alone and get a reality check. What about the African side of you? What about the East Indian side of you? What about the Asian side of you? There's funding. Not only that, if you structure right, you might find yourself getting educational grants to send your kids to college. Educational grants to learn your genealogy. Your family reunion should now be about education. What are we going to restore? Place that old family land that's sitting over there in a trust. Create your board. Preserve it. Hire a family member as an administrator. Get you a grant writer. You might just find out now you just employed 4 or 5 members of your family that don't have a job. Because now you organize. This is the Jones Family Trust. This is the Jones Family Estate. What are you preserving? This old house that's out here. What are you going to do with the old house? Now you're going to put your ranger out there now, just like they do plantations. Here's your tour guide. Write a book. Print you some t-shirts and hats or your favorite grandfather, great-grandfather, grandmother slogan. Put that recipe in a boat, in a book. Matter of fact, bake some of those pies. When those tourists now come out, when you have something to sell. This was the recipe. But no, you don't want to preserve no history. Oh, that's mama recipe. We only do it at the family reunion or family get-together. You better make that recipe work for you. Because they left you things. Let me explain something to y'all. My grandmother that raised me from 3 days old, when mom passed, mom sit me down. Baby, I have no money for you. But what I got is your legacy. Now, what you do with that, you can make it work for you, or you can do nothing with it at all. See, it's the legacy. Mama, don't tell me what you don't want to do. Yes, ma'am. Okay. In remembrance of you and daddy, I will follow through. We will put it in your voice. And your voice to be heard. Don't worry about no money. Money will come. You do the right thing. If you don't preserve your history, when you go, it is gone. So I preserve day in and day out reading and research. And it seems like my grandmother made that journey over to the other side. I got a burst of research energy I've never seen before. There are things been missing from my family for 90 years that resurfaced. There are things that's missing for 150 years that research. Things that were missing for 285 years. I knew nothing about. She may have knew nothing about. But I tell you what. When that information service and re-looked at that family tree. Wow. See, when you don't preserve stuff. Many a time, many of you could be reading about your family in some textbooks and don't even know that person is related to you. See, black folks, you got to learn to start keeping tabs on your history as it applies to you. Or you will be surprised what a family member of yours did 100 years ago or 200 years ago, even in slavery. Because your genealogy and your family history did not start in slavery. There's a you that goes beyond that. See, white folks in this country have suppressed a whole lot of information. Many a times, because they know they're going to have some children come along that might discover this. I'm trying to tell y'all something. preserve it. So don't worry about the other family members start arguing and leave. You preserve. I'ma hold on to it. Y'all do what you want to do, but I'ma hold on to this. Because you got generations coming behind you. And they don't know nothing about their family. I find it sad sometimes. But some black folks in America can't go back two generations. They don't even know nobody in the 1900s. Know nothing. Why? Because you haven't taken account into your ancestry? Everybody wasn't a slave. And those were slaves, endure it. What were they before slaves? Did they come from some great nation here in America or some great nation in Africa and Asia? These are the things you need to be concerned about. But I tell you what, taking the right DNA test will lead you to those historical markers. Oh, all this Asian pop up in me? Let me search the slave trade and see how many Asians y'all had coming up in here. Where did they land? I need to check. That might be one of your ancestors. So you check. I knew a black, let me give y'all an example. I knew a black woman, Asian great-grandfather. So she started digging and digging. So she decided to go to China. And when she went to China and found the name, well, she had the name prior to going there, she might as well have been a Blackanese because they recognized her and never saw her. They remembered that particular family being enslaved and sent to the Americas 200 years ago because they kept records. See, depending on who the family is, all history goes a very long way because it's continued past down. But see, white folks will make you think it's old, it ain't real because it ain't written down. Well, how do you think written information get written? Come somebody who was old. Somebody had to tell it. Recorded it. With the exception of her dark skin, she looked just like her people. Well, oh no, the slave trade never happened. No ships crossed the Atlantic. Okay. All right. Y'all keep falling for the okie doke. You ain't gonna find you. She had diabetes, but once she connected with her family over there in China, they had cure and told her, you can't eat this or you can't eat that. We don't eat those things because these type of things bring about these things. So she changed her diet. In a year's time, she had no more diabetes. See, this is what learning your ancestry can do for you. It can cure you, literally. That's why you got to preserve your history. There is no greater feeling on this universe than knowing what resides inside of you. No greater feeling to understand. This is a part of me. This is how I resolve this and that in this day and age. See, your ancestors were playing with a fixed deck, and they did more with that fixed deck than many of you and I have done today. But you and I have more freedom. See, this is why in the house of ancestry, teach my members how to research, how to be aggressive. Because this is a spiritual walk. See, you have to have something inside of you to inspire you, to fuel you. That opens up the consciousness inside of you that is your ancestors. You start hearing little voices. You will start looking at books and don't know why you went to that particular book. Something drew you to it. Then something drew you to a particular page and you looked at that page. Then you left the page and went back. It was there all the time. How did I miss that? I'm telling you, black people, so-called African Americans, preserve your family history. Why did grandmama or grandpa have that old coin over there? That old coin is 150 years. What does this coin mean? Doesn't mean for you to go take it to the pawn shop. Where did they get it from? What's the mystery behind this coin? Lay it on your chest at night. Meditate on it. Rub it across your breast. See what you find. See, this world has taught you to be more physical than spiritual. But all the answers reside in the spirit, spiritual walk. Because the things that are unseen, the things that are unknown become known. That ancestor plane is a spiritual plane. It exists. Well, I don't believe in God. You don't have to believe in God, but you damn sure better believe in your ancestors because they're on that plane. And for those of you that have blind ears, blind eyes, deaf ears, guarantee you a light will come on in your house, walls will start cracking, television will come on, start hearing sounds, because they're trying to get your attention, trying to wake you up in this plane, the physical plane, trying to tell you something. They are you and I, guardian angels. Your ancestors. Trust me. See, Christianity threw a curveball to a lot of people. Took you away from your ancestors. Took you away from communicating with them. But then again, you'll find some white folks in some secret society sometime, drinking out a hull of a skull, trying to wake the dead. You better wake up. Your ancestors are always with you. Whether you're a Native American, whether you're American Indian, whether you're African, whether you're Asian, whether you're European, that is how it is designed. Stay connected. Some of you come from some very great people, but you never know because you ain't tracking. You ain't tracking. Because you think things just start in slavery. That is what white folks wanted you. That's why I'm so hard on white folks. Well, I ain't had nothing to do with it. Your ancestors had something to do with it, and you benefit from it. So therefore, you need to listen to me. We put up with 400 years of your crap. You don't want to listen to me for an hour? Fine. But I tell you what, I am not going to shut up. Not when it comes to mine. Hell to the no. Mm-mm. I am their voice. We got work to do. We got some things to handle. There's a score to settle with this. This is why I continue to learn day by day. See, the world of ignorance is where you find things. See, it's okay to be ignorant. To be stupid, something else. It's okay to be doubtful. Suspicious people, I can't deal with.
because they always think somebody is coming after them, and they're the ones who are doing the evil things.
You must learn. So this evening, I am hammering away at preserving your family history.
See, many a times you need to go take a vacation with your ancestors. I did a lecture one time called Vacationing with Your Ancestors. See, you need to go out to that old field where that house used to be. You need to go sit on that old porch that your grandparents used to sit on or used to play on as a child, and they watched you. You need to go sit down in that old car that your grandfather or grandmother drove. Be in remembrance of them. You need to go walk around that old church or go sit in that spot, in that pew where your grandmother or grandfather sat. See, that is vacationing with them. Bringing the remembrance of them back to you to preserve who they are. Because one of these days, somebody going to need to preserve you. And if you haven't preserved anything, what is there for your children and your grandchildren to preserve? These things are crucial. These things are very important. So start preserving your family history. Go out to the old park where they used to take you. Play some of the old music they used to listen to. Sing some of the old songs. Put on the old hat your grandfather used to wear. Step in his old shoes. These things, vacationing with them, will take you a very long way. Go travel down some of the old highways they used to take you. Do this in remembrance of them. You will bring them back. Trust me. You'll be sitting around and you smell that old cigar. Who's smoking that old cigar Grandpa used to smoke? Who wearing that perfume my great-grandmama used to wear? I remember smelling that. That spirit is back alive. Resonating. See? They still here. You just have to put on your spiritual eyes and ears. See, your senses will let you know their presence still exists. These things are important. These things are crucial. I'm going to say it again. Incorporate your family union. Create your family heritage or historical society as a nonprofit 501(c). Yes, it's going to cost you some money. Pay the $800 or $900. What's $800 or $900 between 200 or 300 people? Pay it. You will find a benefit in the long run. What will you gain? Federal funding to preserve your family. Federal funding to learn the language of your ancestors. Funding to send two or three of your children to college. That stuff is not just for Native Americans. Better wake up and smell the coffee. So-called African Americans in this country, when your ancestors got here, you fall under the Department of Interior too. As well as the Department of Education. Matter of fact, go look at the Gullah Geechee Corridor. See if it is not under the Department of Interior. Don't take my word for it. Go look at it. Go to their website. Waiting to hop on somebody else's bandwagon when you can take the initiative and create your own wagon. I'm telling you, there's funding out there for you. Whether you're African or you're Asian. See? These things
are very important. I'm not telling you what I reckon. I'm telling y'all what I know to be fact.
Now, going out here creating these organizations, these different Indian organizations that never exist, or these people that never exist, that ain't going to get you nowhere. Tell you what, out of all the tribes here in America, out of all the tribes in Asia, all the tribes in India, all the tribes in America, the Europeans know who they put on the boat. I'm telling you. You structure your organization right, you will end up with $10 million, just like the Gullah Geechee Corridor. I'm trying to tell you something. You do not have to join no federal tribe if you have some Native American or Native American necessity and talk about the white folks won't let you in, the Mongoloid Indians won't let you in, because you probably ate them. If there's only 5 civilized tribes and there were over 1,000 ethnic groups in the Southeast, don't a light come on that you might descend from one of those who are not 5 civilized? If you do your research? But too many people doing it the wrong way, trying to look for a dollar. What are you going to gain? Nothing. Spiritual walk. This is only self-fulfillment. Ain't no signing no paper, no FS-181 changing your indigenous identity. I'm going to tell you again. That is a federal form for federal employees working for the federal government. Based on the number of employees and who they are, promotion and raises. That is not a form for no indigenous identity. I am a defense contractor. I am telling you. Be careful with that type of Morse or any other thing out there. Ideology. You're gonna get ripped off. I am so sick and tired of people inboxing me, asking me about their indigenous identity. Hell, you don't know who your family was 3 generations ago. You haven't taken any testing. You haven't done any research. You are basing on what somebody else has said. This is not a walk for you to follow on somebody else's ideology. I had more people claiming Yuchi when I came out with Yuchi than Yuchi all my life. But oh, when I said, oh, there's Yuchi up in New York, there's Yuchi all in California. Really? Okay. There's a certain characteristics and mannerisms with Yuchi people. There's certain phenotypes to Yuchi people. If you don't have any of them, it ain't you. People need to take time and research. I will assure you, I've taken people who couldn't get past 1920 and have taken them to 1790 to research. At one point in time, during slavery, not all your ancestors remained enslaved. Somebody got free, or somebody came here free. These are the things you really need to be concerned about. If you study honestly, if you humble yourself and take time and do this in grace, in remembrance of them, you will find who, where, what you descend from. Mark my word. You follow that platform I just gave you, you will have no issues. Those things are important. Remember, this is a journey that deals with you, not somebody that created something over there. And for you to hop on the bandwagon and say, yeah, you one of us, because all Negroes and Native American, that one of the biggest lies ever told. If you go back and read the law states Indians who are enslaved are classified. Because at that time in American history, Negro only meant slave. That's why they got Negro land in Africa. That's why they had the slave factories or the Negro factory. Better understand it. If not, you're going to get lost. Clearly. Take time and study the farm census of 1940. It will clearly tell you. Colored mean everyone who is non-white. So that means Indian, East Indian, Chinese, Japanese, African, North African, East African, West African, Central African. All of the apply except white. You got to understand these things. The more you understand the law in history, the more you understand location in history, long as you understand the signs of the time in history, you will find where you descend from. Well, I can't find nothing past slavery. Really? Go to a plantation. Why can't they ain't got my grandfather's name? You better go in there and look at those slave logs and look at their plantation family logs. If they bought your ancestor, what was his previous name? Because it's going to be listed in the slave registration. Here's now a slave named Jim. We now change his name to Arthur Williams. These are things you really need to be concerned about. That is where you find your answers. Clearly. Both grandsisters could have been on the William Palmer plantation, and their name is Leroy Jones. How long has his name been Leroy Jones? Because 2 years ago, he was owned by somebody else, and his name was Willie Fillmore. Wow. See, you got to learn how to track these things. Because you may not be Daisy Jones. See, I look at a lot of these Facebook scholars, a lot of these YouTube scholars. They don't tell you this because they don't know it. You really have to take time and study. Read. Go read dissertations. Go read slave narratives. A lot of folks don't want to read the slave narratives. Why? You better read the slave narrative if you come up out of the Southeast. And most people, until slavery was over, come out of the Southeast. You're going to find your ancestors listed in there, or you're going to find somebody that know your ancestors or know a particular event that happened at a certain place and time. This is what you will find. As a researcher, as a historian, I look for things the modern-day historian or researcher, genealogist, don't care to look for. That's why I study it from a forensic perspective. That's how you know things. You go against the grain. I don't want to know what they are. I want to know what they don't know. I want to know what they're hiding. Once you find those things, you find the answers. I'll tell you now, kill off all the Native Americans. They didn't kill off all the Africans. What you need to do is find where. And this is where a certain type of DNA testing comes into play. Private testing gets you where you need to be because you're doing it from a family perspective and it's not being generalized. You concerned about the cost. Like I said, some of y'all have 200-300 members in your family. A private testing company will gladly come to you. These things you really need to be concerned about. And this is how you unravel the mystery of who you are. Preserve it. I have told you how to do it. If you missed it, rewind this video back and listen again when the lecture is over. If you need any professional help on how to do this, go to the House of Ancestry website, thehouseofancestry.org. We have the information there. The House of Ancestry has two professional grant writers that has been writing grants for 40 years. Not going to be free, but they're not going to charge you a hell of a lot of money either if you want it done. It costs me, it costs them, therefore it will cost you if you want it done. Black folks got a tendency of wanting somebody to always do something free. If you always getting something free, what is the value in getting it? Remember that. Pay for a certain service to get the worth of that service and get the best of that service. Getting something free sometimes can be half, I'm not going to cuss today, half a donkey's butt. I'm telling you, these are the things you really need to be concerned about. And before I end this lecture and I go into open calls, I'm going to briefly touch on this again. There are more Indo-Africans in this country than you have been led to believe. Okay, Chief Langley, what is an Indo-African? That is an East Indian mixed with an African. And over 320,000 of them were listed here in America in the Southeast in 1908. So those of you that have Indian ancestry, it comes from India, not Native American or American Indian. That is a fact. When I first discovered this information, I did more research, continued to do research, and found out the British never hid it from the Americans. It is the American decide to use the common term Negro. But up until 1908, there were 320-some thousand Indo-African descendants in this country that came from Cameroon and Malabar. That's why you have to study the slave trade from an African perspective, or study it from the East India perspective, and not study it from these modern-day historians who have not looked at it from a forensic perspective and tell you everybody came from West Africa. No, they did not. A shipping port. They walked people across the desert. People came from East Africa. People came from India. People came from Asia. All were shipped into West Africa, then into the United States. I'm not telling you what I'm reckoning. I'm telling you what to be fact. So your Indian ancestor, your great-grandmama, long black hair, Kali came from India, or Indian African mix. You find these Indo Africans coming out of Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Madagascar, Mauritania, Sudan, Ethiopia, Djibouti. This is why these testing are so important. So your ancestor told your grandmother was Indian? Don't know what Indian? Probably Pakistan. Or the Tamale. You come from that side of the equation. Well, Chief, what about Trinidad? A whole lot about Trinidad. So many of you got to understand, up until the American Revolution, the entire Southeast Coast, all the way down to the Caribbean, is all the West Indies. That's how British still recognize it today. You don't think they sent any of those Trinidadians up here? That's a domestic slave trade. That's a whole nother lecture for me to get in, and I'm not going to get in tonight, because tonight I'm just telling you about preserving your family history. I just threw that footnote in there. These are things you really need to be concerned about. I'm telling you, when you preserve your family history, you will find solutions, resolutions for bad health, diseases, because you know what your ethnic makeup is and know what not to do and what not to eat. See, diseases in America come from a lot of people mixed breeding. You don't find people mixing a pit bull with a collie and a poodle. Dog gonna be crazy as hell. What do you think about people? You wonder why people act a certain way? Wonder why certain people got certain different diseases? Why this black person over here got this disease the white folks have? You better check their ancestry. Well, we ain't never heard nothing about no white folks in the family. Really? Better go back and check 4 or 5 generations back. We ain't never heard no Chinese in the family. My eyes is like this because I'm deformed. Really? They fool you like that too? You better study history from a genealogical perspective. You might share a different opinion. These things are factual. So tonight, I'm going to open the floor for some questions and answers. And that's what this show is about tonight. I will start with 901-401. Have any questions?
I don't have any questions right now, Chief. I'm enjoying the lecture that you're giving. Hello, can you hear me?
404-380. Have any questions?
Good afternoon, Chief. Thank you very much. Yes, I have one or two questions. With the 501c family funding, will the family reunion be considered a tax write-off?
Of course.
Okay. I mean, I comprehend what you were saying, and I appreciate you for sharing this information. And this is the first time I've heard of, and this is the first time I've really ever heard about private genealogy testing. So how is that different from 1003 and African ancestry?
You just hire a company to do it specifically for your family.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Chief. Love you very much, man. Appreciate you.
Okay. 901-401.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, Chief, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
All right. Yeah, I didn't have any questions. I was just enjoying the lecture. This is my first time hearing it. It's very enlightening. And okay. my concern was pretty much the same as the brother just asked. I was concerned about the 501c3 family funding that you had mentioned. I didn't really catch all of that. I was wondering how would that work again, if you could reiterate that point for me.
Family reunions. They need to be structured as 501c3 nonprofit heritage societies.
Okay.
Once you do that, I'm not talking just call your organization a nonprofit. No. Because you can't get the federal tax write-off or nonprofit status until you get that federal ID for it. And there are guidelines. There is so much funding for heritage and preservation. I'm telling you, there's probably over $200 million that they award a year for that.
Hmm.
Folks aren't doing it. The Gullah Geechee did it. See, folks just think that is for Native Americans. Let me tell you something. A lot of these so-called Native American tribes that are not federally recognized, these are non-profit organizations, and they get hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for preserving heritage.
Mm.
Some of these are nothing but white folks.
I'm sure.
But they are preserving their native heritage because they're learning the languages. So therefore, they are able to get this funding. I don't know why so many black people are just totally disregarding their African ancestry, knowing all these different African tribes that are here. Those languages are unknown, but they rather try to be Native American and Cherokee and everything else, and they're not, and don't get nothing. And if you look over on the other side of the equation, here is hundreds of thousands of dollars a year you can get in grants to learn your language. What do you think the Gullah Geechee Corridor is about? They got $10 million, $1 million a year for 10 years. Okay, all these African tribes are not Gullah. The same thing can be done from a family perspective. See, this is not something you generalize. You do this from a family. Don't align yourself with nobody else. You don't know who those other Negroes are and what they are intent.
Right.
You do it from your family perspective. I guarantee you. I tell you what, you don't have to take my word for it. Just start Googling nonprofit organizations and look at the nonprofit heritage organization and look at the amount of funding these people are getting yearly. That's a corporation by itself. You got four or five people in the family who ain't working or don't work or retire. You could probably write a grant for a payroll of $150,000.
Mm.
Now you got those family. Now you got your administrator. You got assistants. You got money for research. Okay, you need a van. You need transportation. Now you turn around and wrote a grant for that to get you a bus, a vehicle, for your researchers to go out to different sites to do amateur archaeology work. Or you write funding, since we have done that, now we need a professional anthropologist or archaeologists to come in here for the family. There's funding for that. Black
and I believe
folks
you said that you
have is missing the game. I'm not saying to do this for the money purposes. I am saying to do this for your heritage purposes. And as a result of that, by you doing your anthropology and archaeology on your family, once you structured your nonprofit 501c3 legally, There is funding to assist you with this. You understand what I just said?
Yes. Yes, I do. And you said you guys have two grant writers on site there with the organization?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I created the organization to help other people.
Okay.
This is what you should do. No black family reunion shouldn't be without this. But they don't do it. All they do is print up T-shirts and meet every 2 or 3 years and go on a cruise or go here and the family go. But well, what about the preservation? Are there any artifacts we have in here for my family? Or we just done took everything down to the Goodwill or the trash can and gave it away?
Yeah, I think most families don't even know about this, actually. Because, you know, I sure didn't know anything about it. So I'm sure, you know.
It exists.
You know.
Man, one thing about being ignorant, that's where you find information. I teach this.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yep. Well, I'm definitely going to look into it. And personally, I plan to definitely deal with your organization in the coming years in the long run. I greatly appreciate your information and love you, Chief. And keep doing the good work, brother. We support you, man.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace.
Okay. 850-875. Hi.
Hi. I enjoyed the lecture tonight, and I really appreciate the information. I'm going to go deeper into my research with it, and thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome. 336.
Yeah, Chief, this is Jerry.
Oh,
got a quick question.
The Washington.
Yeah, got
go
a quick,
ahead.
Yeah, got a quick question for you. On doing the 501(c), and you're talking about setting it up, like doing it for a museum type thing. To get that tax ID number, and I know you was talking about incorporating. Sound like if you had 200 people. You know, everybody pool that fund, but somebody has to be, would there have to be someone that's the overseer that ID tax number would be signed to? Okay.
What you do, listen to me clearly, and for everybody else, you come up with a name, Family Heritage Society of the Jones. Well, first of all, it should be called the John Doe or Jane Doe Family Heritage and Preservation. Do not leave the word preservation out. Do not leave the word heritage out. Those two words need to be in your title.
Okay.
Heritage and preservation.
So what
write your bylaws.
Right.
Now, develop first, come up with a name. Second, come up with a board of directors or board of governors or a family council.
Okay.
Five or more people. President, vice president, secretary, treasurer, members, member at large. However you want to do.
Okay.
Now
so
go and file. Now file 501(c) nonprofit status, which means now you just incorporated. Some people incorporate as a church. Some people corporate as a trust. See, a lot of these so-called Indian tribes, they're no more than nonprofit churches.
Right.
Once you incorporate, you get the tax breaks. Now, once you do that, you go to the federal government page and look for Heritage and Preservation Grants under the Department of Interior. I am telling you, there are more than $200 million, hey, probably $1 billion a year when you add all the tribes and all these other organizations and these heritage societies. Tons of money. I think in 2010, I think the Lumbees got $70 million for heritage and preservation.
Wow.
Black folks are not doing it from an African perspective because many of them want no ties to Africa or they know nothing about it. And most people in this country, depending on who they are, they're mixed race. But I tell people all the time, the Gullahs have set the model. They get $1 million a year.
Okay.
This is what you need to do to preserve. I'm telling you, there were hundreds, maybe thousands of different African tribes that they brought here, just like there are thousands of Native American tribes that still exist. That five civilized tribes, okay, what about the tribes that wasn't civilized? What happened to them? Just disappear. Okay. You got it, Najer?
So, yeah, all you're saying is we need to put it under the title that you gave. That takes it out of the equation of just one person. It's just going to take somebody in the family to want to start this type of organization.
Let me give you an example. House of Ancestry. The House of Ancestry has two logos. One logo says the House of Ancestry, Grassroots Genealogical Society, members only. There's another logo says the House of Ancestry, Genealogical and Anthropology Association. That is a nonprofit organization.
Right.
That preserves history and preservation through anthropology and archaeology. That organization alone has grant writers and can attain federal funding.
Okay.
It has a board of directors and it has many different projects. Has a project like the Indo-African Society. Has another project, the Yuchin Indian Preservation Society. Those are projects under the House of Ancestry.
Right.
Well, the Yuchin Heritage and Preservation Society is a nonprofit organization by itself under the Yuchin tribe.
Okay.
But it's not a 501(c). The 501(c) sits the House of Ancestry Association and Anthropology. You understand what I'm saying, Jer?
Yes, I do.
Now, when we created this, and the reason it was created, because when I was teaching under the Yuchin Heritage and Preservation Society, too many people were thinking they're Yuchin Indian. No, that's not it. Now, whether they were naive to the fact, or they just want to ride on that bandwagon. So my family and I sat down and did. So you know something? How can we create something that everybody that needs this information can benefit from? Therefore, the House of Ancestry Grassroots Organization was born. But it needed to be placed under a mother organization, which was the was the House of Ancestry, Genealogical and Anthropology and Archaeology Society.
Right.
Which is no more than the House of Ancestry, Anthropology and Genealogical Association. Now some say, he's saying all these things. Well, that's how I have it structured. Now we have another organization, which is an educational trust.
in the Educational Trust is the Savannah River Chiefdom Indigenous Research Institute, which all of the research and information that I have gathered over the past 15 years is all under that.
Got you.
All of these organizations fall under the tribe.
Right.
But these are just different organizations that we have. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, you know what I'm working on. I'm working on to preserve the church. And that's why
nonprofit.
That's what I'm here. Okay. Because I'm working on that now.
Yeah. Do that.
Okay.
And that's the reason we have the grant writers to assist with that. Because when we started this organization, we needed this organization to have the power and the know-how to go into these federal organizations and pull this funding.
Right.
At one time, we were going to let, and it's still an option, family reunions register under the House of Ancestry. Once they registered, then they had access to the resources and tools to incorporate.
Right. I see.
Now,
okay.
The incorporation time to get a nonprofit is 1 year when you do it to get the federal ID. We don't control that processing time.
Right.
They have a fee. Some of those fees cost between $800 to $900. Those fees go directly. That's the federal processing fee. That is, some people out there would say, well, we can get it done for $300. I haven't seen it done for $300.
Right.
I haven't. Then maybe that's what it was in the olden days, but things have changed. But if you want a tax break, you're going to have to do it the correct way and get the federal ID. Now you have a nonprofit status, which is no more than what a lot of these churches have done. A lot of these churches now are 501(c) nonprofit organizations.
Right.
Same thing. I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, you did. Okay, that's all I have, Chief.
Okay. But we have many little nonprofit organizations under the umbrella, but these nonprofit organizations that we have under the umbrella of the House of Ancestry Association are projects. The reason they're projects.
Okay.
I don't want to create all these other different. Now, you have as many nonprofit organizations as you want. So we just have projects. No more than the federal government have departments.
Right. Okay, so basically what I need to do is come up with that name, then apply.
Yeah. We'll help you do it.
Yeah, okay.
This is something I've been preaching to black folks for a long time. This is what you need to do.
Right.
You don't need to get a whole lot of family members to go ahead and create the organization. You only need three people, a president, a treasurer, and a secretary.
Right. Okay, I got it, Chief.
Okay,
I'm going to get you to help me with that. I'm still working on, finding out more about the land because I've been to the courthouse and find other information, but I haven't found out yet still who that land belongs to. I think it's going to go back to the church because some of these AME churches, if no one claimed it, it went back to the church, the headquarters of the church. I'm now trying to locate them to find out if they do because somebody's got to be paying taxes on the property. It doesn't belong to the people that owns the land behind it, but it shows no record in the courthouse who the church land belonged to.
Well, you think it might show records in another county somewhere?
Yes. That's another place we are looking because of where it is. It sits on border of two counties, but and some of those records could be in the other county versus the county that it's in. But some of the mail that goes there goes to it's in another county, but the mail goes to another county because it sits so close on the border of where the post office is.
Well, the question you need to really find out, when that church was first built, what county?
Okay.
Or what plantation? Or what township?
Right.
Settled. See, let me tell you something. And this is something I want everybody to listen here, what I'm about to say. You have county and city. But most people don't realize in the midst of those two goes undetected as a township. A plantation can be a township. 3 acres of land can be a township. And that township is its own municipality. Matter of fact, here's another thing you have. You got county, you got city, you got township. You could have a trust.
Right. That's
and if you got a trust, if it's sitting in a trust, ain't no taxes and ain't no record other than that trust. So what name is that trust in?
Trust under.
See, trusts have a whole lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you something though. You find some, that's why you see a lot of the Kennedys and all these other families have these trusts. Or you see something say the Wilmore Foundation. And the county can't go over there and buck that trust. Because that trust has a board of directors.
Right.
That's how trusts are set up. And I will recommend to everybody on this call, if you have property you want to preserve, place it in a trust. Trust can get federal funding too. These things are very, very important. See, it's more to the house of ancestry than research and genealogy and anthropology. We have a business structure side of things too. Because so-called African-American and black folks need to learn this thing. But I don't advertise all of this. I don't even recruit people to join. People come to us, and then when they come to us, then we share this information. Those that have ears, let them hear. Those that have eyes, let them see. Those that want to walk, let them step. And we are here. Any other questions?
No, I'm good, Chief. Thank you.
All right, I'll go back down the line, see if anybody else have anything for me in the call. 850?
No, nothing at this time. Thank you very much.
Okay. 404?
I guess basically what you're saying in your undertone, Chief, get with House of Ancestry. It helps resolve some of your issues.
It sure will.
That'll resolve all your roadblocks.
Exactly. We even have a licensed herbalist on board. You got any sick problem? We got a national herbalist that travels all around the world, from London to the Caribbean to New York, back. In another year, he's going to be housed in South Carolina at the House of Ancestry location and going to give lectures there monthly so people can come from all around to listen and get herbal healings and techniques. He's been doing this for 40 years. His name is Patrick Devins. Go to the House of Ancestry. You will see him there. Go ahead.
Yeah, another thing. You think you might want to give a class on the website itself?
On the class for what?
On the HOA website, how to navigate through some of your links.
We do that during the indoctrination. And new beginners or new members come on, we got a class to show them how to do that. You haven't taken that class yet?
No, I've been pretty much doing self-taught, and it's real interesting. Cause a lot of times, you better to find things when you get lost.
Yeah, I kind of like that, too.
No, I appreciate that. That was another question. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. 901? 901? Going once? Going twice? You good?
Yeah, I've already spoken to you. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, bro.
Okay. All right. So, tonight we lectured on preserving your family history. Now, I'm an open book. You have any questions? Inbox me. I'll gladly point you in the right direction. There's one thing about me. If I don't know, I will tell you I don't know, or I stay in my lane. But I have other resources that may know, and I will try and point you in the right direction. So feel free to connect. This is going to be my last lecture, probably for about 6 months. I'm headed back overseas on Thursday. You can still hit me up on Facebook. See me from time to time. I answer questions. So I only use social media to educate. This information is not mine unless it pertains to my direct family. But the history of things that I have researched and continue to research, that belongs to you. So on that note, you guys have a good night and take it easy. And I'll see you down the genealogy trail. Good night.